Hey guys,
what are you doing?
I got my own little purple stick world over here. I was like, I thought we had about 15 more seconds. Hey guys, glad you're there. Welcome back, guys, to the worldwide broadcast of Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. Hope you guys have a fantastic day today. I'm all over the place. Had Hagman last night.
Oh, that's what it is. You're fatigued.
I'm not really fatigued. I'm just not quite as dialed in as I normally am. I had, you know, my routines and on Wednesday nights when
purple
you're up till
sick. Yeah, purple
two
sex.
In the morning.
Two?
Yeah.
So you only have a few hours sleep.
Yeah, I'm good.
You should let me open this
one. A lot better than North Carolina.
Tell him. Send him an email. Send him 1,000 emails. Let's dox him.
No, if you really want to do it.
Let me give you his phone number.
YouTube. Go on the YouTube live comments. Should Dr. Brower open on today's show? Hey, you guys got any health questions, be sure to throw them in the YouTube live feed. I always enjoy getting stuff like that from you guys. I've got a lot of different articles I'm going to cover here. I was just going through some new ones. But Hagman was great last night. Be sure to check that out if you haven't heard it. And be sure to follow us on thebrowershow.com. We got all the different articles we're constantly covering, including the videos, the live feed, the news stories. You click up at the top up here, and that gives you the daily news articles. You guys wonder sometimes where we post the stuff. Do we cover it? We say, hey, I'm going to post that. It's here. So this stuff gets posted pretty much every single day. Majority of it's what we cover on the show. Sometimes it's more than what we cover on the show. Sometimes we miss a couple articles. It happens. But you be sure to check that out at thepodcast.com. And also get updates on the emails. Make sure sometimes, guys, as much as annoying as it is, sometimes it goes to spam. I can't do anything about it. That's on y'all's end. So if you sign up for the weekly newsletter and the Brower Show Report, if you're not getting that right away, make sure you guys check your spam, because sometimes it's going there. I don't know why. It just depends on some of the email feeds that are happening right now. And also be sure, I talked about it in detail in Hagman Report, and I will cover it more today as well. Some really good information is coming out now about berberine ultimate or dihydroberberine. So be sure to check that out. The main article that I have here on the site that Harrison just wrote for me.
Let's cover it now.
Yeah, all right. Dihydroberberine, beyond better absorption, new research points to glucose sensing metabolism. And it says, normal berberine's plant compound found in herbs such as berberry, and golden seal. Researchers have studied for possible effects on blood sugar, insulin signaling, cholesterol, inflammation, and cellular energy. And it works for all that. The biggest weakness is poor bioavailability. This has been one of the biggest hindrances of berberine for decades now when they've been researching it. It does a whole array of different things that I just mentioned. Cholesterol, cardiovascular health, blood sugar, insulin sensitivity as far as increasing it, and also, too, on top of that, cellular energy. The issue is you need at least about a gram or two of berberine a day in order to get it absorbed in your body, because you get a lot of waste byproduct from it. It's a hard product for the body to assimilate. Well, down comes the line of dihydroberberine. So standard berberine has difficulty crossing the intestinal wall. That's one of the biggest issues with it. Much of it may remain in digestive tract and is broken down before reaching circulation. This is one reason ordinary berberine products often use large serving sizes. This is why I've had people ask me this question. This is why I explain this. And they go, well, I got this one product, you know, it's like 1,000 milligrams of berberine. And I take like two or three of them a day. And it's working okay, but your berberine ultimate says it's 200 milligrams. I said, well, why don't you read the ingredients closer? It's not berberine. It's dihydroberberine. And what happens is large amounts of regular berberine are harder on the digestive tract. And sometimes when people start taking really high doses of berberine, they start issuing with cramping, diarrhea, nausea, and a host of other things because the body's trying to break it down. Dihydroberberine takes a different approach. Instead of simply adding more standard berberine, it uses a form designed to cross the intestinal barrier more efficiently without any side effects. After absorption, DHB, dihydroberberine, is converted back into berberine, creating higher circulating berberine exposure from a much smaller dosage. This is an earlier randomized crossover study. And this is the one that Harrison pulled up for me. It's really good. And it stated here the researchers compared 500 mg of standard berberine to 100 milligrams and 200 milligrams of DHB. The participants received each from a separate occasion, and researchers measured blood levels afterward. Both DHB doses produced substantially higher circulating berberine levels than the 500 milligrams of ordinary berberine. Even the 100 milligram DHB dose produced greater blood exposure than the standard 500 dosage. This is important because a supplement does not always mean milligram for milligram. The 2026 study went beyond absorption. Look at this, right? I want you guys to look at this. The researchers wanted to know whether DHB could directly affect insulin release process. Insulin is made by beta cells in the pancreas. The job is to move glucose out of the blood and into the cells where it's used for energy or stored for later. Beta cells must be able to detect when blood sugar is rising, and they should not release large amounts of insulin all the time. They need a sensing system that tells when glucose is high enough to require response. The researchers found that glucosinate, because it plays an important role in the sensing system. And essentially what it did was here, if you go down, this is a long article. They said the researchers tested DHB in two types of insulin-producing cells. They're commonly used laboratory models for studying pancreatic beta cell behavior. DHB increased glucose-stimulated insulin secretion in both types of cells. In other words, when glucose was present, the cells released more insulin after being exposed to DHB. The wording is important. The researchers were not simply looking for uncontrolled insulin release. They were testing whether DHB improved the cell's response to glucose. A healthy pancreas should release more insulin when blood sugar rises. The study suggests that DHB does strengthen that response in laboratory cells. I know that was a lot of talk about there, but this is big.
Well, the thing about it is that it does a lot more than just insulin.
Oh, yeah.
No, the day I remember, what was it, 4, 5, 6, 8 months ago, we were doing a thing on that. I started reading an article.
Stops arterial plaquing.
It does everything. I mean, I take it every day. I mean, it's so important. It really is. I mean, berberine is one of those products, especially the hydroberberine. You don't want to take the regular one. It's too hard to absorb.
Well, that's why I covered it. And the nice thing about them, too, is when you do the 200. See how small a capsule is? Take one of those like twice a day. That's it. Yeah. I had somebody come in and they were taking the gram berberine ones.
Huge.
And it's like two big horse pills and they're taking like four a day, which if you got to do something to control it, and it was working, the problem is it was causing gut cramps on him. And he goes, man, my blood sugar's getting back under control. He goes, but I'm like, I cramp every time I eat, so my stomach's all upset. I'm like, we're eating 2 grams of berberine. My gosh, I mean, that's a lot for the gut to process. And he ended up trying the DHB, got better results on blood glucose, and zero side effects from it. So that's one huge factor, but a whole lot of other health factors on this product.
Oh, by the way, yesterday I mentioned this, and it's an interesting article, and I wanted to kind of go into more detail with it because, you know, again, we're giving you a choice between taking a product that's better or a product that still works, but a product that's much better with the dihydroberberine. And it says that cut the number of choices you make each day and your brain will thank you. We joked about this yesterday about how it would cause, you know, AI would start making all your choices for you. Yeah. And it says jeans that fit perfectly, the ideal chauffeur Tuesday night, your one and only soulmate. Modern life promises that with enough options, you will happily find the best of everything. But behavioral scientists say the increasing flood of choices, whether it comes to be shopping or social lives or relationships, is doing the opposite. This is absolutely on point. The idea that more choice is better baked into Western culture, but research shows that having more options can make people anxious, indecisive, and paradoxically less happy with what they pick. This is what they're saying now from the University of whatever it is. There have been hundreds of studies showing that there can be too much of a good thing. To minimize the mental noise, he said, limit the number of choices you make and make your brain will thank you for it. In the back of the brain, you have what's called a reticulator activator. It's right here in the base. And what it does, when you look at a forest and you see all of the trees, you don't see the individual leaves unless you look at them. That's because the brain filters them out and you see the trees. What you don't want to have happen is your brain sees everything. Now, God sees everything because his brain's a lot bigger and a lot more advanced than ours is because he's omnipresent, etc. But the reality is it's specifically designed that way so you can focus and see what you want.
You don't overload the central nervous system.
And what you do, and whatever you focus on, whatever you speak about, you bring about. What do I mean by that? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. All right, now you can do all things. Put a period at the end of that, because that's the way I want it to be. You know, I'm always at the right place in the right time every time, because that's the way I want it to be. Speak the words that are going to create a positive outcome in your life, and your brain will then filter out the things that you don't need, the noise, to allow you to focus on the things that you do need.
That was well said.
That's how it works. And that's why so many people say, well, if you speak the right words, you have the right outcome. That works too. Yeah. Show me your friends. I'll show you your future. Not because your friends are basically, you know, bad or good people. It's just their behavioral patterns are going to determine what you're going to start doing and what you're going to start focusing on. The person says, well, all I do is go bowling every weekend because that's what my friends do. Okay. How's that going to work for your marriage? How's that going to work for your kids? How's that going to work when you never see the girl of your dreams? How's that going to work if you never see the guy of your dreams who you're bowling every night?
There's something to add in that, too. You know, if you're trying to work on getting back in shape and losing body fat and getting your insulin down and feeling better, look at your top 5 friends you're around. Mm-hmm. I'll say this, and I'm not picking on anybody. If top 5 people you hang around, all they want to do is eat pizza all day, All they want to do is eat pizza and beer at the bowling alley. All they want to do is stop at Taco Bell with you every time they're coming back from the bar.
Let's not forget the wine.
And I'm going to tell you, everybody's going to do what they want. I don't care. You own choices. But you hang around people like that all the time, it is going to be incredibly difficult for you to get back in shape. Because what's going to happen is you're going to consistently compromise your boundaries on what you're wanting to do and what you're wanting to do with your goals.
And what you will tolerate.
Because those people clearly don't have any discipline either.
Or goals. But yeah, you see,
they might have goals. They want to get to Taco Bell before it closes. That's not the goal you want to be around.
I dated this girl years ago, and she liked to go. And I always told her no because it's not effective. Because number one, you're going to be driving. She always wanted to go to Tampa and drink wine with her girlfriends. There's no positive outcome here. You're drinking and driving.
If you're gonna do that, please Uber. Mm-hmm. I don't recommend it, but just please Uber, man. It's especially down here in Florida. Mm-hmm. This is not the state to drink and drive. No state is.
You will get arrested.
You will go to jail here.
And the crazy part about it is I told her, I said, this is not something I wish for you to do. You think, well, you can't tell her what to do. She can do whatever she wants to do. See, it's her choice. My choice to date her or not date her. I no longer date her. Just let you know.
Outcomes of choices.
You know, so if you want to date somebody who wants to go out drinking with you, then date somebody who wants to go out drinking with you. But don't date somebody who doesn't drink. And the reality is that, you know, you've got to choose these choices. Pancreatic cancer, liver cancer, cirrhosis of the liver, alcoholism, osteoporosis, breast cancer. Which choice do you want? Which outcome is predetermined for you? Ask yourself those questions. What am I doing? What's it doing to me? And is it okay? Always ask those questions when you get involved with anybody. Because, quite frankly, if you had an occasional beer or glass of wine or whatever.
Especially if you're not driving. I mean, I've told you.
Well, I mean, who cares? I mean, nobody
take
cares.
Take some liver support next
time. Yeah, but don't be going out and doing this and drinking and driving. It's just not okay.
I told you, I had a friend of mine I grew up with, and he ended up going to Florida State University. Came back one semester, had gone into a frat when he was at Southeastern. I mean, I knew the kid. We grew up together when we were younger. And got involved with a frat. Turned into an alcoholic with all the heavy liquor drinking all the time they do, and hazing each other and everything. He came back to Central Florida, got so drunk in Lakeland, got on the wrong side of the interstate driving home at 2 a.m.
Could have killed somebody.
He did.
Oh, he did kill somebody.
He did. He had a head-on collision and killed somebody in the vehicle, got vehicular manslaughter with alcohol involved.
How many years?
10 years.
10 years in prison.
10 years in prison. I think he got out after six because on good behavior and did a bunch of stuff. But he was a junior. Changed the entire course of his life
and kill somebody else
and has to deal with the fact he murdered somebody basically, I mean, for no good reason, and you can be in prison until he was 30 years old and you're a felon, and now you have to try to balance that as your life. And I mean, he had it by the bootstraps. Florida State paid for it. Parents paying for it, got it. So understand there's certain consequences that you may have that land upon you that they're more than you're willing to pay.
And always remember, you smoke pot and you drive, you're under the influence.
They will arrest you.
They'll arrest you.
Too,
yeah. you'll go.
Harder because they don't have a breathalyzer for it. But if you've got a prescription, if you're using that for a medical purpose.
They
tell you not to drive. Use it at home if you need to do that. I'm not a big proponent of it, but don't be operating a vehicle on the road.
It says, instead of being liberated by all these choices, you're paralyzed, he said. You can do anything, but yet you can't figure out what you want to do. People often end up making worse decisions since more options suggest more potentially bad outcomes.
It's the truth.
I'm going to repeat that sentence. You listening this time? Make sure you listen. I'm going to cue you in this time, remember? People often end up making worse decisions since more options suggest more potentially bad outcomes, he said. And once someone finally decides from all of the possibilities, they may be less satisfied, even with a good choice, because they fear there was a better alternative. This happens all the time, too. Now, listen to me with online dating.
And marriages.
Now, listen, this is very important because at one point in time, it was very difficult to find somebody to go on a date with. It's not anymore. It's extremely easy online. The problem you run into is like, well, maybe I should have gone out with this one. Maybe I should have gone out with this one. And then pretty soon you become jaded. You get tired of all of it. And then at that point, you don't really care anymore. It's a bad place to go. It really is. And so be very, very careful with too many choices. You know, a person says, well, I've got a car collection. I've got 25 cars. You think, well, that's great. It'd be fun. That's a lot of maintenance.
A lot of maintenance.
And pretty soon you don't know which car to drive. And pretty soon you don't know which girl to date or which guy to date. Pretty soon you're on Facebook and all of your friends are dating guys that are wealthy, they say, and they're not, and they're lying. And, you know, Instagram's not a real place. Neither is Facebook. And all of a sudden now you're thinking, well, this guy, he can't provide for me. He would have to spoil me. Okay, so I'm going to get me a new man, or I'm going to get me a new wife. It's like Zig Ziglar said, a lot of times that grass on the other side of the fence looks a lot greener from a distance, but we get up to it, it's a lot thinner, and there's not near as much grass there. So be really, really careful with your relationships and your choices, because guys, well, I gotta buy this new car. Well, you don't think about the fact that it's a $1,200 a month lease or mortgage or whatever you want to call it on a car. It's like payment. A house payment, you know, payment. And you know, so now all of a sudden, after about 4 or 5 months, you go, that's awful. I've already spent $6,000. This thing's already lost $50,000 in value. Now I'm stuck for $1,200 a month forever. And now you start getting all post-purchase dissonance on it. So now you go, well, I'm going to have to file bankruptcy. And a lot of times that happens with cars. I have a lady that I know, an older lady, changed cars. Finally, she got into one that basically was breaking down all the time. She had to swap it out. I tried to help her. She wouldn't listen. And then she ended up getting another one. She was $15,000 upside down in the final car she was with. Her payment was over $1,000 a month for an old used car because she had good credit. Guess what happened? You already know, bankruptcy. And it happens all the time.
It does.
Now, I'm okay with bankruptcy. Now, listen to me. You probably thought I'd never say that. Our Constitution gives us the right to do that. But I'm not okay with bankruptcy every 7 years. That's not okay. You need to learn how to discipline yourself. If you make a big mistake or you have a medical bill that you can't pay or you go through a bad divorce or whatever happens, or you get into a lawsuit and you have this giant judgment on you and it doesn't include punitive damages because you can't bankrupt those, all of a sudden you go, I can't dig out of this mess. I'm done. I'm finished. The forefathers of our country said, hey, give them a chance to get out. That's the problem I have with student loans. You can't bankrupt them.
Yep. Well, they set them up like that perfectly.
The Little Hat people did that. They did that because they didn't want the people going in because there's over $1 trillion in student loans now. We're not giving these people a break. We're going to make sure we're going to suck them dry for the rest of their life. Yep. It's greed. It's avarice. And then they give them these student loans for underwater basket weaving or black history studies or gay whatever or transgender whatever. You know what? You know I'm right. You look at me. You know I'm right. And so what happened? Now you have this totally useless degree with $100,000 in debt.
Well, and they're freaking predatory loans, man. I've had so many people I knew in college that got wrapped up in these. And listen to me, guys. If you're young, if you're looking at this, try to get as many scholarships as you can. Try to go to local community college.
And get a job while you're in school.
I worked my entire way through college. And the thing that pisses me off with these student loans and these Little Hat just breathing free air SOBs that do this intentionally is they bring these kids in that are 18, 19 years old, and they go, hey, listen, we're going to give you this loan for school. We're going to cover everything. We're going to cover your per diem for your food. We're going to cover your housing. We're going to cover your tuition. We're going to cover your insanely overpriced books that we own, too. You know, the books that cost us $10 to print, we charge you $450 because it's edition 22 because we changed one page in the back of the area.
Boy, don't even get me started.
No, I know the whole drill with the college.
Because I have printed books. Well, you can get books printed, paperbacks, great books, get them printed for, it used to be, not probably not anymore, 50 cents a piece. The ones that they charge $200 to $300 for.
If you have to buy books in college still, go look at the used book market online. A lot of these things, the generation before it, which is usually very rarely changed at all, if all. I've actually had one time. Professor told us. He goes, the new edition for this class, it was like, I think it was, Abnormal Psych. Abnormal Psych. And he goes, the book is like 14th edition. It was like $450 in the bookstore. And he's in the class. And he's like, don't buy the book. Don't buy it. He goes, go online and buy the last one or two editions. Buy edition 13 or 12. He goes, they're identical. He told us in the class. He goes, I don't want you guys to spend that much money on books. He's just stupid. This whole curriculum is calling for this new book. Sure enough, you go online, the like 12th edition is like $40. And somebody's still making a lot of money under that. $40. So I used to be able to cut my book bill down from like $1,200 in a semester, and I used to cut it down to like $200 or $300 max. And then the cool part about it is you don't feel obligated to return all your textbooks to try to sell them back for pennies on the dollar, which is what kids end up doing to try to make a little money back. You can actually build a library. You can take books. You say, oh, I paid $40 for it. They're going to give me $20 on trade-in. I'll keep the book instead of trading it all back in. So be cautious of this stuff because the college industrial complex is very real. The student loans are a real problem. And they try to make – and what they do is they play on the I don't have to deal with it till tomorrow adage with kids. When you're 18, 19 years old, somebody goes, okay, you're going to have to pay this debt, but we're going to defer it till you graduate.
That's right.
And you go, well, I'm 18 years old. I got 4 years of college.
They don't think.
Time doesn't exist when you're 18. It really doesn't. You're like, I got to pay this back when I'm 22. But you got to remember, I'm going to pay this back. I'm going to have a college degree. So I'm going to be making $500,000 a year. It's not going to be a problem paying it back.
Such a lie.
They do. They tell you that. And you graduate and you get out. I had a good friend of mine, Andrew. I haven't seen him in years. Great kid, though, but got wrapped up in. Had $120,000 in student debt with his undergraduate. Had everything financed as far as housing, everything. And he got out. You know what he went into? Went into real estate. Real estate.
Probably smart. Probably made enough money in real estate.
Well, no, that was the only option he had because he graduated same time I did, the crash in 08, 09. And there was really anything to do. Nobody was hiring. So he got into like commercial real estate and did okay. But he did a four-year college degree. He could have gotten his commercial real estate license at 18. So look at that stuff, guys, before you start getting an enormous amounts of debt that you can't pay back.
I'm going to read one more paragraph on this article. That explains why sometimes people move through parts of the day on autopilot. Yeah. He said, throughout the day, people are confronted with hundreds of situations. This is called a fractal timeline, by the way, where they could do something different, but they almost always take the same route to work. Swartz said the proliferation of choices also has become tangled with identity in the social media age. That's where we're talking about dating and not being faithful to your husband or wife, where everyone can easily compare their choices to other people's lifestyle choices. When all you've got to choose from is Lee's and Levi's, nobody expects the jeans that they buy to fit perfectly, he said. When there are 2,000 options of jeans, well, now you expect your jeans to fit perfectly. This is why so many people in the dating world change partners and change partners and change partners.
There's
and,
always the next best
and
thing.
Changes wives and changes wives and changes wives. Nothing's perfect in a relationship. You got to work through it. 100% give on both sides. That's how it's going to work. Has to work, as he says. But you can read the rest of this stuff. He basically says that make your life simpler. You don't have to eat 25 different foods a day.
No, you don't. Okay, now, thank you.
No, he says that sometimes you can eat 4 or 5 of the same foods all the time.
I do it every day.
I do it every day. And people say, well, are you a foodie? I'm like, foodie, no.
Well, no. I love going out on a rare occasion and just getting a rare plus filet mignon. A really good steak. I love doing that. But majority of the day, it's chicken and rice or buffalo and rice. And I've had people do it. They're like, well, I need to have, I want this meal. And I'm helping out with food prep. They're like, well, I want to eat this at lunch. I want to eat this in the afternoon. I want to eat this at dinner. And I'm like, you can do that. I said, but you got an enormous amount of food prep to do.
And time.
You want sweet potatoes and chicken at this meal. You want beef and rice at this meal. You want, zucchini, squash, and carrots with, roasted salmon at this meal. And I'm like, but you're going to burn out on food prep doing this. You're not going to stick with it. Do something that you can maintain and is sustainable when you're trying to burn body fat or get back in shape. Don't try to go with this crazy exotic diet every day because you will not hold it.
You know, it's interesting. When you're a bodybuilder, which I'm not promoting that sport because there's too many drugs involved.
I promote healthy exercise and healthy living.
Me too.
Bodybuilding's gotten corrupted with drugs.
Bodybuilding's awful. It really is. Because when I did it, there were no drugs. I didn't.
Well, it's compromised too now. You got a small group of little hat people, by the way, if you guys want to know the inside on it, and they pretty much run the entire industry. And who, how should I say this? Who takes care of who in certain ways is the people that get the first place now. It's not about best body. It's not about best shape. It's not about best physique.
Austin's talking about gay stuff now.
I didn't want to go there, but that's where I've seen.
No.
And saw firsthand. That's why I got out of the industry.
No, but because it was the same way back in the 70s.
It's got way worse now.
And the problem is there are a lot of those guys who were the pioneers who were little hat guys.
Yep.
And they basically built it all around that. And now it's turned into this giant industry as everything is. What did Henry Ford say? The founder of Ford Motor Company? He said it's always the little hat guys.
He said if you dig deep enough.
It's always the little hat guy.
If you turn over a rock, it's always a
little hat guy.
Yeah. Yeah. They always seem to be at the bottom of all the fiasco that's happening, but they're always covered and shielded by a front.
Well, yeah, interesting. And a whole bunch of LLCs.
Well, that's why I told you guys the other day. I dug deep into this stupid thing. Oh, by the way, the red light camera over in Lakeland, I have to wait 2 months for it to turn into a uniform traffic citation. 2 months. So what they're doing is they're trying to make people forget about it so then they can basically get a fine with them. They can basically get the charges on them. I talked to the attorney the other day about it. And he goes, yeah, that's what they do. He goes, you got to wait 2 months now for it to turn into a uniform traffic citation. Then we take it to court. We fight it for you. But in the meantime, what do you do? Now, I have it on my bulletin board in my man cave with a date on it when the column on there. So I'll have to look at it every single week, which, again, inconveniences me because now I have to think about these stinking pedos that run these companies. Because, quite frankly, we all know who's running the show behind the scenes. It's all pedophiles. Why in the world doesn't anybody get convicted with Jeffrey Epstein's entire merry band of misfits?
Merry band of misfits?
No, serious.
Like Robin Hood.
No, look at this. This article just came out. Modeling agent
Oh, yeah, this
who
guy.
Who introduced woman to Jeffrey Epstein. Suddenly found dead in France.
He had thousands and thousands of mentions in the Epstein files.
Yeah. Found roughly a decade, Daniel Siad responded with Epstein about young women and teenage girls, according to emails released by the Justice Department. I've seen these emails. There's been a ton of stuff that was released. The modeling agent who introduced young women and teenage girls to convicted sex offender was found dead in his home last week.
Well, they can't.
No cause of death has been disclosed.
Well, now, here's what happens. Okay, this guy saw behind the scenes. He can testify. When you have hearsay, so-and-so told me they did such and such. You can't testify to that because it's hearsay.
That's exactly right.
But when you're involved in it directly like this guy, you can show up in a court of law. You can show up before Congress. You can show up before anybody, and you can testify and swear that it's true. Not if you're dead. And then you say, well, he died of natural causes. He was 69. Okay, he may have. 1% chance. Okay?
Yeah.
But that's it. Because what happens, these guys start sending out emails like, maybe I should really tell the truth about what happened. Maybe I should make these other people suffer like I've suffered. Maybe, and all of a sudden, guess what? Their emails are being read.
And their texts are being read.
I've got a friend of mine. I'm not going to mention any names. And he was a big-time personality. And he's not anymore. He's retired. And every time you send him a text that he knows may be compromising, I don't believe any of this. This is total lies. This can't be true.
Really?
Every single time.
Well, I think everybody.
Because everybody, and he told me one time in private, he goes, everything I put out, every text, everything is read.
Well, no, it's I mean, you do understand now. I brought this up enough.
AI
isn't here to keep your comb photos and your kitchen remodeling photos in the cloud. They're doing this because they're monitoring every single thought, every text, every phone call, every... Guys, this is why I'm so funny about my cell phone. That's why I keep doggone tape over the selfie camera. This is why I put my cell phones in a private location if I'm having a meeting with some of my close friends or my contractors. Everybody thinks it's weird until everybody realizes it's not. Put it this way. It's not abnormal to throw your phone in the fridge. Sealed up. It's a Faraday cage. It can't get out. Nor can sound get in there.
I wouldn't recommend doing that because it may get condensation.
It doesn't.
No, it doesn't. Oh.
But here's why. Even when you turn your permissions off, those phones... they've been described to me is an unbelievably efficient tracking and monitoring device that happens to make phone calls in Texas. That's what they are. That's guys that have worked in the DOD with me, as far as I've talked to before. And this isn't, I'm not being weird or paranoid, but what I'm saying is hear this. I'm trying to give you guys some advice. If you're having a really, truly private conversation, keep that crap out of the convo. Keep it out. And if you got an Alexa in your home, go beat it with a baseball bat. Get that crap out of your house. Why do you want Amazon spying on you?
I had somebody send me one of those, and I gave it away instantaneously.
Immediately. I wouldn't even re-gift it. I'd throw it in the garbage can. I wouldn't promote that kind of crap.
But also,
get back.
Now, this is more obfuscation. Now, listen to me, because they don't have delivery vehicles for this. Iran is threatening to conduct terror attacks that will cause national mourning in America.
There's no way they can
we're talking false flags. We're talking about this yesterday. This is false flags.
This will be the little hat people.
CIA or Mossad or MIS. Somebody, MI6. Somebody's going to be doing something here and setting up. Remember what happened with 9/11? And here's the problem with this. Now, listen to me for a second. Now, this is going to sound awful. And I don't even want to say this. Americans are so insouciant and basically so gullible and so naive that if somebody drops a bomb or sets off a bomb, you know, in New York City or Chicago or some other Democratic hellhole, sorry, but they are. Okay, San Francisco used to not be. It's awful now. And they set off, they set off a dirty bomb. You know, they set off a bunch of TNT and it's not even true. It's not even real. It's not a nuclear weapon.
Well, they could set off a dirty bomb.
Here's what they say. Now, all of a sudden, they go, "Oh, this was Iran, and Iran takes credit for this." The Americans are so insouciant. Okay, they will believe the same lie they believed with the USS Liberty, the same thing with the Gulf of Tonkin. They will believe all of it. They, for some reason, and I don't understand why, maybe the fluoride. I don't get it.
It's alive, it's the fluoride.
But Americans, my mom used to say this, Americans are so schrecklich dumb. The Americans are unbelievably dumb. And I'm like, why would you say that? You know, I was born here. And she goes, you can't believe what they all believe and what they say when they come in the bar. They believe this stuff. She goes, what we learned in Germany was the government lies constantly.
All the time.
Goebbels. He says, they lie. At the end of the war, we didn't believe anything. You know, because we knew everybody was lying. The massive weapons were going to win the war as the troops were coming into Berlin and Hitler's dead.
Allegedly.
And yeah, when he's not dead. But that's what they were told.
Allegedly.
And the children are the 10-year-olds are shooting in the trenches. That'd be like Hunter right now. Oh, you know, yeah. Fully loaded up, gear on.
Going to the front line.
Going against Russian Speznaz. Yeah, that's going to work real well for everybody.
I told you this before. That was one of the big, big irks that I had about everything. Because there's always both sides to a conflict. I've always been very open to stuff. But that was, to me, the thing.
Putting the children in the trenches.
Putting 10 and 12-year-olds in trench warfare like that.
No.
That was absolutely.
I mean, children. They're children. And the crazy part about all of this stuff is that, you know, they were believing that's what my mom said. I believe it. Nobody believed anything because we knew it was a lie. We're watching the doggone B-17s fly over, so we have so many of them, they black out the sky. We had to put blankets on our windows so you wouldn't put any light out because they'd take their doggone Norton bomb sights and they'd focus in on the light on the ground. It didn't matter if it was civilians or not. They'd bomb anything. My cousin Fritz was out in the field plowing during the day, trying to make food, get food for the family. They dropped bombs on him. Drop bombs on him. He said he's running into the house. Big blow up. Big craters blowing out around him. He said, this is a nightmare. See, when it gets to that level, that gets really, really very real. They're bombing you and your family, and you're saying, whoa. But the reality is when they started off with a false flag, now you want to blame whoever they say did it, and it's a lie. Rather than coming back instead of being insouciant and asking the question, but remember, you got to take the fluoride IV out of the arm. Yeah, you got to do that. They're trying so hard to put that crap back in the water supply now.
Oh, they are.
And they'll probably get it back in again, honestly, because the people are too stupid. It's like they'll probably vote down daylight savings time. And then they just passed, what is it, yesterday, Austin, that integrating Israeli
now. Covered on the Hagman show.
Matt Massey tried to stop it. They couldn't even vote on it.
Massey tried to stop it. He tried to put a block in, essentially, to stop what they're doing. Here, I'll read it to you right now. He posted this. His Congress blocked its own members from even voting on the plan. To block 219. The House Rule Committee refused to allow a vote on the amendment challenging Section 219.
You know why, don't you? Because they didn't want any people going on record to being against it. That's or exactly for it. Right. They don't want to be blamed for it in the end.
Exactly right. Because at the end of the day, if they force a vote on the floor, you either have to abstain, which is hard to do on something if you're in chambers, or you got to vote yay or nay. And so they said no debate or vote was allowed on Section 219, the integration of U.S. military technology and supply chains with Israel. This is probably one of the creepiest things I've ever witnessed in my time being alive. I don't want to go real dark right now. You guys already know what's happening with it. If you want me to explain it to you any further, I will in about 30 seconds. Pretty much what Section 219 does. It essentially is a mandate to the Department of Defense to expand and accelerate joint research development, co-production. Give me camera four. Am I going to forward this? I'm going to read this one time. I'm going to highlight it. I'm going to turn this off. I'm pretty pissed off about this last night. It's to expand and accelerate joint research development, co-production, and industrial integration with Israel across all next-gen warfare domains, missile and air defense, counter-drone systems, cyber electronic warfare, artificial intelligence, autonomous systems, quantum technologies,
lavender,
directed energy, biotechnology, and defense manufacturing with explicit pathways for moving Israel origin and jointly developed technology into U.S. programs of record. And I'm going to let you guys replay that because I'm not going to repeat it again. It's just going to make me really pissed off. My blood pressure is going to go up. I'm trying to have a good day today. I'm trying to. You've got a bunch of these little hat supporters. And so now they're going bonkers. They're saying, listen, you don't understand. And I will say this.
Primarily evangelical Christians.
For the first time, I actually agree with.
Be careful.
No, I'm going to say it. I'm going to put on record. I don't. You know what?
Be careful with the words. You two will take it down.
No, I actually agree. Well, people aren't going to expect this. I agree with Cortez. I agree with her on this. She has gone bonkers about this.
I also thought you were going to say something else.
I probably was going to say something else. She said flat out, she's completely rejected the entire defense bill. She said the provision with merging parts of our military with the IDF is nothing short than essentially treasonous. She said the amendment is an existential threat to American sovereignty, and essentially every member of Congress should vote no. Now, this is the response. This response, a steaming pile of crap, Mike Lauer from New York said. He's a Republican, by the way. Good grief, Cortez. You're either obtuse or intentionally lying. We are not merging our military with IDF. That's a lie. As we do with many of our allies, we're entering into a cooperative agreement, sharing intelligence and developing technology, munitions, and conduct military exercises together. Stop stoking Jew hatred and do better. Isn't that what they always say when you question them? Oh, you're anti-Semitic now. Well, why are we handing over all of our AI programs and our anti-drone technology into IDF, which we're doing? We're integrating our entire new gen warfare into IDF. They've got full access to it all the time. That's not anti-Semitic. If we did it with Germany, I'd go bonkers. If we did it with, you know, England, I would go nuts.
Or Russia or China.
Any country. There's a reason why you maintain military sovereignty with a country. It's so if anything goes sideways at any point in time, you're sitting there going, okay, we're pulling back. This country's gone rogue. My opinion, this is my opinion. I'm going to drop this. I got health stuff to cover on here. The only reason why they would vote on this, well, we already know because they're getting AIPAC money. They're being told to vote on it. But the actual reason behind the scenes is because at some point, Israel's going to go rogue. They're going to do anything they want, which they already kind of do, but I'm talking anything they want.
They already do that.
No, I'm talking.
They machine gun children.
I'm talking full-blown scorched earth to any ally of the United States
they want. Their greater Israel, right. Austin. And so that way they can bring their Messiah back.
If they come in and say, oh, by the way, we're doing airstrikes on Turkey now. U.S. goes, nah, this is too far. You're not taking over Turkey. We're going to block some of this stuff. And Israel goes, funny you say that. Because we own and control all of your anti-drone programs now. We own all of your AI technology. You've integrated everything you have with us as far as with AI tech. We own and control it all. So if you want to say no, you can, but that's just going to be a gesture, verbal gesture. We're going to do it anyways, and there's nothing you're going to do to stop it.
Because it's law.
Because it's law, the NDAA. There's no way to put it out. They even said if the next president wants to get this out, it's going to cost billions of dollars in removal of this because these guys are going to be injected in the United States military like a freaking parasite now, like a cancer.
Well, now, I got to say something else. And I know this is going to sound weird to you guys, but it's just the way it is. Their technology is more advanced than ours is.
I don't think so. I think they got a lot of our technology.
No.
They're going to have all of our back-end technology now, too.
And because now listen to me why I say that. Now, listen to me. I weigh 450 pounds. I'm 10 feet tall. You know, I basically have 3% body fat, and I can bench press, you know, 1,500 pounds for 40 reps. I'm a giant. I'm a monster. I can do whatever I want to do. Okay? I'm going to make you do what I tell you to do. I'm going to make you do what I tell you I'm going to do, or you're going to do, or I'm going to beat you half to death. And then you're going to do what I want. Because you're going to bow to me and you're going to kiss my butt because you're going to do it, or I'm going to kill you. That's how advanced the technology of the Lavender. It's that advanced. We don't have that technology. Their technology is so far above our technology because of what they do and how they've done it and how they've integrated. They can force us into submission. That's why I said that. Now you think, well, they can't do that. The heck they can't. Look what they just did. They just had the doggone Senate and Congress vote on this.
And you got to understand, guys, this is unprecedented. Mm-hmm. This has never happened before in U.S. history.
No.
Ever. We've done contracts with other countries and allies. We're going to joint produce missiles together. Dude, we're going in now and joining next-gen military missile and air defense counter-drone and directed energy. Highlighted in here.
There are 450-pound pedophiles sitting on the other side of the room with 3% body fat, and they're telling you what they're going to do to you, and there ain't nothing you can do to stop it.
You don't have a firearm.
And you don't have a firearm. Now, if you had a 50-caliber Barrett, it'd be kind of fun, but I don't have that with me right now.
50 cal is a great mediator of all things.
It's a great equalizer. So that's why I said that. Benjamin, listen to me. I know Benjamin Netanyahu. I had lunch with him 30 years ago. When I was on the seminar circuit, he's a complete and total slime bucket. Now, listen, he said to us sitting in the room, he's trying to get us to invest in technology out of Israel, that Israel has backdoor programs into all technology and all computer software programs globally. That was 30 years ago. What the heck do you think they say now? Now, this isn't some third party hand who said this. I heard it from his mouth to my ears. Now, you think, well, gosh, Ted, I didn't know you knew that many people. Yeah, I know that many people. The crazy part about it is this guy isn't playing games anymore. He's a career criminal, been indicted in his own country, got kicked out, got put back in, and he's there running everything now.
He's been charged with war crimes across the entire world
now. This guy is as big a slime as it gets. He's the one who basically worked with back in the 90s and everything else when he was back in with Israel with Jeffrey Epstein. Don't forget this.
Here's the problem.
And Mossad.
Here's the problem I have with this now, too, right? So if this is tying in, they're going to have all access. That means they're going to have all access to Flock systems, too, with Peter Thiel.
Austin, here's what's going
to they're going to have access to everything as far as with AI in the United States.
Within 20 years, our podcast and what we say here will be totally illegal for what they're fixing to do.
I hope you're not right about that.
No, listen, in 20 years.
Crazy.
Because they're going to come in, and the Christian evangelicals are so insouciant. And I'm a Christian. My heart beats for the great I am. I love Jesus. You guys know that. But the Christians are so darn stupid when it comes to common sense. It's mind-boggling. And then they stick a fluoride IV in them. Then they put them on Prozac and Zoloft and Xanax and everything else. Now they're sitting around in a stupor, you know, eating candy in church while they get fatter and fatter and fatter. I've seen it. Austin's heard it. We've seen it. And you think, what? Well,
why do you have to eat 17 lifesavers through a church service?
No, I knew.
I'm just asking you that. I've seen it too. I don't understand.
I knew a woman who ate an entire bucket of lifesavers daily. And she got bigger and bigger and bigger.
Full of cavities.
And you ask yourself a question. Okay, are you that stupid that you don't know the outcome of the choices that you're making? Well, apparently they don't. Or they don't care. They've been so brainwashed by the Scofield Reference Bible. Why do you think I talk about the Christian aspect of this all the time? Why do you think I talk about the Sabbatean Kabbalist Luciferian Synagogue of Satan all the time? Because they run the stinking planet. And you can't get away from that. You can't get away from the fact that God created the heavens and the earth, and Lucifer's in charge of this particular planet and this realm we live in.
Well, and this is why, from a physical standpoint, this is why they've been so adamant on trying to restrict firearm access in the United States.
That's exactly right.
Because when you start going the fact that, and this is completely legal in the United States, you can go purchase transferable M2HBs, 50 caliber belt fed automatic weapons.
Like that one tranny head.
Yeah, the one
that had never been fired.
With no ammo, brand new, and no mounting system, with 30 other machine guns.
Notice how that got quashed.
Dude, I can't even find anything.
You know why, don't you? Because of what we did. We came in and we exposed. This show's that big. We exposed. Well, they thought, it's a bunch of lies.
Covered, that day after it got released and I covered it, it went bonkers on social media. Mm-hmm. Like every social media platform started calling it out. And the comments, it was like I was listening to myself talk. Mm-hmm. And the comment is crazy. Everybody's like, this is a brand new. It's got break-in oil on it. You can see the feed trays doesn't even have any ammo. It's attached to it. This guy's alleged. He's got 40-millimeter grenade launchers on everything. Where in the heck is he getting this stuff from?
He's a
22-year-old tranny that's driving a 20-year-old Subaru. I'm not picking on Subaru. How do you have $1 million worth of machine guns in your apartment and you're driving a $5,000 car?
You don't.
You don't. Mm. And then they're arresting the guy, he, she, it, and the dude's literally screaming, I have no idea what's going on. You guys are setting me up. Now, nobody knows about the story.
It reminds me of the Batman shooter in Aurora, Colorado. They find him out by the car, leaning against the car with the tire
full
well.
Full kit.
Drooling on himself. Completely no idea where he is. Incoherent. But he just did the shooting. No, he didn't. It was a total lie.
So this goes back. I covered it yesterday briefly again. Major appeals court declared New Jersey AR-15 ban and magazine ban ruled completely unconstitutional. This is a huge deal. This is getting traction. This happened a lot now with gun restrictions that are starting to go back. This is a good thing to see for this exact reason we just talked about here. It's not that, oh my gosh, we need to have all these guns because at some point we're going to definitely be involved in a direct kinetic action. It's the fact that it's the deterrence of basically bad behavior. When you know there are hundreds of millions of firearms in the United States and that we still have legal Class 3 weapons here in the United States and we have SOT2 manufacturers that can produce this stuff legally in the United States and we have the largest combat veteran, basically population in the entire world, that's not a very enjoyable thing to think about of any invading military force. We're not even talking about the U.S. military. We're going to talk about civilians. The level of degree of armament and training and background that we have is unprecedented among any other country in the entire world combined. That's why I tell people it's not just a gun restriction. It's not just a violation of the Second Amendment. It affects everybody in the entire country because they're trying to come after the ability to speak freely, which is the first thing they've done now. We're going to restrict this on social media. If you question anything we're doing, if you ask us a question on why we're executing 10-year-olds with 308s from about 500 meters out in Gaza, you're anti-Semitic. You racist skinhead. We're shadow banning you now. They've already started to go after the First Amendment, and they've been going after the Second Amendment. There's a reason why it's one and two. They put them together in line for a reason. It wasn't just sporadic. The founding fathers
the
didn't
most
go,
important, the second most
yeah,
important.
They didn't go, we're just going to kind of shuffle them in like a domino set. We're just going to kind of pick one from a hat. They said, you need to be able to talk crap at any point in time about anybody you want, especially the government, and you need to be able to shoot them for anything you're about to do to you next if they violate what's coming in the Constitution behind it.
We're not advocating violence.
No. But when somebody comes up to you with a barrel of a firearm and says, you're going to do this now because I'm telling you to, you're going to start getting multiple RNA gene therapy vaccines every single day because I told you to. I'm not saying that would ever happen. If it did, you need to be able to go, no, I'm not. No, that doesn't happen here, buddy. Sorry, this won't happen. And I guarantee you 100% the reason why you see some of these incidents like that one in Vegas the other day, that bizarre false flag, they trying to get something else set up so they can go. Remember, the only time ever you've seen heavy gun restrictions ever be put into place, they're almost always directly after a false flag. Every time. Look at Sandy Hook. Whatever happened there, I don't know. I wasn't there, but I'll tell you one thing. Connecticut went bonkers with gun laws after that. That have never passed through in that state. Same thing in California, same thing in other states. They push this stuff through after everybody's emotions are on their sleeves, and that's how they push a lot of stuff that's illegal in the Constitution.
Got to change topics.
Switch it up.
Make it light. Fat jokes are back. I don't like fat jokes.
I'm not opposed to fat jokes.
Here's what they're doing. They target ourselves. They're teaching people to self-deprecate.
No, I'm not so self-deprecating.
No, listen. Here's why. They joke now about how fat they are and how much they're eating, and it becomes politically and socially acceptable because
okay,
the entire table, now you got 12 people, they're all 100 pounds overweight, and they're all eating desserts, and they're all going, this is great. Look how fat we are. This is fantastic. Okay? And what it does is exactly what Mel Brooks said when he did Blazing Saddles and when he did the producers. He said, if you make a joke about an incident that happened, if you make it funny to people, they accept it and they're okay with it.
That's true.
Okay, so once you start self-deprecating and joking about being 100 pounds overweight or 200 pounds overweight or 300 pounds overweight, now you become the center of the joke and you accept it. Now you think it's all funny. You no longer have the need to try to change your behavior. You embrace it. It's like that doctor that we knew that was 500 pounds. He was proud of the fact that he was like size of a mountain. He loved it until he ended up with arthritis so bad he couldn't walk and retire in his 40s. I mean, the problem with all of this stuff is that we now are accepting it and embracing it in this country because they're doing that on purpose because they don't want you to stop eating the junk because
yeah. The
little hat people own the major food supplies in this country and pump it full of addictive chemicals like MSG.
Goy slop.
Right. And so what happens is you're supposed to eat it. And so now you've got to make sure that they will make sure they can watch you eat. It's like the other day I was watching that movie, Odysseus, right? Well, whatever it was.
It was called The Odyssey.
The Odyssey. and the guys were eating like a bunch of pigs, and the lady turns them into pigs. And there was the scene went way too long. If I ever saw that movie again, I'd go out to the bathroom while they were doing it. It was that bad. It was disgusting. And the thing about it is, everybody was kind of laughing in the theater when they were doing that. It wasn't funny to me because this is what this is implying.
Yeah.
Hey, let's eat as much as we want to eat, as often as we want to eat. They don't bother to tell you about heart disease, diabetes, and cancer and arthritis conditions. They don't bother to tell you about strokes and heart attacks. They don't do that. They say, oh, it's going to be fun. We'll make fun of ourselves. When I saw this, fat jokes are back to target ourselves, not funny at all.
Well, see, I was thinking about the reverse. You know, I remember like 2 years ago. That was like 3 years ago. Like 3 years ago now. I mean, I wasn't working out much anymore. I kind of let myself go a little bit. I was probably 215. I got a little belly on me. And I was doing something. I took my shirt off. One of my buddies patted me on the belly. He goes, Austin, you're getting pretty fat. And I said, I am, aren't I? I don't like this. You know what I did for the next 8 weeks? Chicken and rice and cardio and trained twice a day until I wasn't fat anymore. And a while back ago, we were doing something. We were actually scuba diving. And he took his shirt off.
What was it, him, same guy?
No, different guy. I pat him belly. I said, when do you do? He goes, what do you mean? I said, you're looking like a fat lard with that gut hanging over your waist. He's like, I know. It's been bothering me in the mirror. You now know for the last 9 weeks, he's dropped almost 18 pounds. Completely different guy. And looking great now. He's getting shredded. Sometimes you got to check each other. Sometimes it's funny. Sometimes it's not. But if you got a buddy that's usually in pretty good shape, and he starts putting on, you know, he gets married or gets engaged, don't fuss at me. Don't throw a book at me because it happens. I've seen a lot of guys get real fat after they get married.
Look at the wife and then look at the wife's mother. And you'll have a foreshadowing in some cases, not all cases, of what the wife's going to look like when she's 50 or 60 years old.
If you got a family that you're marrying into and everybody in the family's obese, you need to be well aware of what your diet's going to turn into once you're married. Both sides. I'm picking on guys.
I've seen this so many times. Guy's in great shape, marries a girl, her mother's obese. And all of a sudden, she's obese. Guess what? He's obese. Now he's got a John Belly on. I'm seeing it over and over. By the way, let's change the topic.
Well, no, it happens. You pulled up the topic. I'm going to cover it. I got a health article, too, I got to cover before we burn the clock down. But don't let yourself go, guys or wives, husbands or wives. You get married. This happens a lot just in general. You get married and you get complacent. Well, I don't need to stay in much shape anymore. I'm not dating anybody. I'm not going out with different people. My wife, she's got to stick with me. My husband, So if I put an extra 5 pounds.
My husband and wife are stuck with me.
Yeah. That's the ideology. I 5 pounds, 10 pounds, 20 pounds. Suddenly, all of a sudden, you're like, man, I'm 100 pounds overweight. And now you're like, well, it doesn't matter. They have to accept me anyways. No. That's not the attitude to have, guys. You should always strive to be the best for your partner, physically, spiritually, mentally, energy-wise.
That's right.
Not especially as a guy. It's your responsibility. I said this yesterday, and I said this on Hagman's show. It's your responsibility, man, to lead by example. Your happiness is bottom tier. It's below everybody else. It is. Your kids, your wife, they come first. Don't be putting yourself, I'm not happy with this. I need to eat my Bluebell ice cream every night if I'm not happy. Shut up. Nobody cares. You're a man. You're supposed to lead the family. If the wife's not listening about food, change the diet yourself. If she wants to bring 5 tubs of Bluebell home every single week and everybody's getting fatter and your kids are getting obese, if you're the man and you got a set, step in and say, listen, babe, this doesn't work. Everybody's gaining weight.
Start throwing it out.
I've done it. And everybody goes, I can't believe you did that. Well, I don't care about your opinion on that. If you got to do something, you got to do something. You do the hard work now so you don't have to pay for it later on. The pain of regret is significantly higher than the pain of discipline. I promise you that. I've been there.
And it's the reward of discipline.
Yes. Well, the discipline sucks sometimes. Getting up at 4 a.m. and getting cardio in, training again at night, eating clean, not eating that cake every night. Sometimes it sucks. You're like, oh, it sucks. I got to be disciplined. But that pain of discipline now is so minute compared to what that pain of regret is 10 years down the road. You go, my gosh, I'm going to have cardiovascular disease because I've been eating junk food every single night. I've got plaque in my arteries at 90%. I got to have a stent put in at 60 years old, 50 years old, 40 years old because my diet's so out of shape. Be the change you want to see, especially guys. And this one article I want to cover, and I'm going to hand it to you. We got a few minutes left. Low vitamin C is now linked directly to reduced brain volume.
That and creatine. You have to have creatine and vitamin. That's why you got to eat meat.
Got to eat meat.
And you got to, or you take creatine supplements. But I tell you what, this is right. We talked about this a few weeks ago about how vitamin C is critical to maintain the brain tissue itself.
They said researchers found that participants with lower blood vitamin C levels had less gray matter and weaker communication within one of the earliest brain networks affecting Alzheimer's disease. And this is a good analogy here. It says if the brain were a city, gray matter would be the buildings and neural networks, the highways connecting to them.
Look at this ad. Be the man she married.
That's funny.
We just said that. Now yeah. They pop that ad up.
While she's holding a banana.
We won't go there.
That's marketing. Gosh. I digress. The gray area highways. Individuals with higher vitamin C levels appear to have both preserved buildings and healthier roadways connecting critical regions of the brain. This is why I tell you guys, the vitamin C isn't a, suggestion. The body will say, hey, I need you to kind of maybe throw some vitamin C. It says, you give me vitamin C or I'm decaying everything. Your gums are going to go bad. Your brain's going to go bad. Your immune system's going to go bad. There is no compromise with vitamin C in the body.
A lot of people say, and I've read the research on it, a vitamin C deficiency is linked directly to leukemia because of the subclinical diagnosis of scurvy and leukemia. That was from 100 years ago, and research was done with the Gerson's Cancer Clinic. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying what I've read. I'm just saying that, hey, vitamin C is that important that you have to take it on an ongoing basis.
It is.
Every single day.
It's water soluble. It doesn't build up long term. That's why it's best, in my opinion, I take it twice a day. I take it in the morning, take it at night. Keeps vitamin plasma levels in the blood elevated all day long, which really makes everything change. What do you want, vitamin C powder? Yep.
I take a scoop in the morning with my two purple sticks. And I take a scoop at night with my magnesium brain, three scoops.
That's three scoops of magnesium brain food. That's about 5.2 grams a day.
And sometimes I go and take a few of those chewable vitamin C's. You know, we've got at the office, those are great, by the way. And I just load up. I don't care if I get 6,000-8,000 milligrams a day. It keeps you super healthy.
Now, that being said, if you're going up for that type of dosage and you never take vitamin C,
you get diarrhea.
Yeah, don't start with that dosage out the gate. I've used it for a long time. So has Dad. Use small doses, microdoses throughout the day.
You're used to it.
I recommend taking like 500 milligrams, 1,000 milligrams multiple times throughout the day with food.
Yeah, used to
it. That will allow your body to really absorb a lot of it on there. So, again, that was my stance on it. But, yeah, this is a big deal with vitamin C linked to reduced brain volume.
Oh, by the way, more obfuscation here. Now, listen very carefully to what I'm about to say. Congo, Ebola deaths increased over 1,000. The fatality rate of the latest Ebola virus outbreak since mid-May is far higher than previous outbreaks. No vaccines or treatments exist for this new strain. This is basically lies. Now, here's why I'm saying it's lies. They're saying no vaccines or treatments. It doesn't say they weren't using vaccines, and it doesn't say they weren't using treatments.
That's
they said they were ineffective. So this is it. If you give them remdesivir and 80% of the test subjects die within a week of Ebola.
It's of Ebola now.
Did you hear what I just said? And this is why when they go into the Congo and they do this with the World Health Organization, they throw rocks and kill them.
Well, some of the warlords have been accused of killing UN hospital workers and UN nurses. Not advocating any of that. But then they start making claims. We were fine. Nobody was sick. You come into our village. Now everybody's got Ebola after you give us the Ebola vaccine. There's been a lot of reports of that. Again, I'm not there. I don't generally go to the Congo on a regular basis. So I can't tell you.
It's like tuberculosis and polio.
But when you start seeing stuff like that and they're saying we didn't have any issues here, they come in to vaccinate us with Ebola. Now 90% of the village has Ebola.
Remember when the Germans did, which is really one of their dark days, back during World War I with submarine warfare. They had to get guys out of submarines that had sunk in 200-300 feet. So they were working with respirators and regulators and with oxygen mixes to let them get out of the vessels and basically resurface. And finally, when one out of four of the guys were dying, one out of four, by the way, were dying from the testing, they said, we got to stop doing this. We're killing 25% of our troops, our submarine megas.
No, it was. If I had the numbers right, I learned it because I got nitrox certified a little ways back, and they were talking about it in detail, odds of the mixes they were mixing and how deep they could go down, like 200 feet. And then, yeah, they got to a point, it was like one out of four fatalities. Testing out basically EAN, which is different types of mixtures with gases, increasing oxygen, decreasing nitrogen, and they finally are like, okay, we're going the wrong direction.
We had the one guy in a decompression phase, he dropped his knife on pure oxygen. Remember that? So how many feet was
he at? Flashlight, man. It was like a 300-foot dive. And when you're running like Trimix, you have to go to full oxygen, 100% oxygen, I think, for 20 minutes. Like 20, 25 feet.
What depth? 25 feet?
Yeah, would you have to go? The problem is a lot of times you got guys down there that are supporting you, swapping out tanks because you're on smaller tanks for that. And one guy dropped his flashlight.
On pure oxygen.
Down, pure oxygen, yeah.
Went after it.
Went after it, blacked out after about 10, 15 feet down. And remember, when you start diving 300-400 feet on Trimix, you are running very tight tables. You cannot deviate at all. And blacked out. The problem is the guys that were with him, his buddies, were on oxygen at that mark.
Couldn't dive
after him, period. So they had to get somebody else to retrieve him down. It was basically a tank supporter. By the time they got all the way down there and got him, he had already aspirated water. He ended up dying.
Yeah.
Scuba diving, you start going with those trimixes and extreme depths. I love diving. I just dove again a little ways back. But I recommend personally, I keep it under 100 feet.
There's so
much stuff you can do at 100 feet. So many good dives.
I like 60 feet better. It's so much easier.
60 feet's hard to mess up, honestly.
You can surface. If you're a good swimmer, you can surface from 60 feet.
You have to exhale the whole time if your tank's dry.
If you don't exhale, you're going to blow your lungs out. Yeah. You have to exhale continually on a fast ascent. I've been diving for a long time. But I want you to know, you can do things like that, but be really careful. Keep your hearts and minds in Christ. That's the safest thing you can do.
There's fixed consequences.
Absolutely.
Know what they are and mediate them as best as possible. And so, again, mediating issues with blood sugar, Berberine Ultimate. We bring it to you guys, Dihydroberberine. Read about it on this show, on the website here, Health Articles. Harrison wrote a great article on it as far as on this. Really check it out and be sure to check out the product of the week. I appreciate you guys. Have an awesome evening. Hope you enjoyed the show today. It was another wild one. And we'll talk to you tomorrow as always.
And remember, no self-deprecating fat jokes.
That's a fact.
Don't do that. Don't start accepting yourself looking like that. And keep your hearts and minds in Christ all the days of your life, because he is the author, the finisher, and the perfecter of our faith. I love you guys and I appreciate you. Thanks for your support. we wouldn't be here. God bless you. Talk to you tomorrow.